All right, let's conclude our teaching on understanding the prophetic today. I will read for that reason from a number of scriptures, some of which we've read before. Let me just quickly read this one just to conclude, that is to introduce the conclusion, all right? Sounds funny. All right, the book of Hosea chapter 12. This is one we have read. Okay, we started this reading this, the book of Hosea chapter 12. Just one verse there from verse 13. Okay, let's just start from 12 so as to get it in context. It said, now Jacob fled from the land of Aram, and Israel worked for a wife. And for a wife, he kept sheep. Now, when God was going to bring Israel from Egypt, another place where he went to at a particular point, in verse 13 he says, but by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel from Egypt. And by a prophet, he was kept. Please notice that Israel left the land of Aram through other methods, but when it was a when the time was ripe for him to leave Egypt, when the time was ripe for him to leave the land of captivity into the land of deliverance, on the land of freedom, when the time was ripe for him to leave the land of struggles into the land of grace, when the time was ripe for him to leave the land in which he labored under a taskmaster, into the land where he will serve the Lord and the Lord will bless his bread and his water. He didn't leave because of his strength. He did not leave because of his ability to arrange deliverance. But he left because of the work of a prophet. The Bible says, by a prophet, the Lord brought Egypt and Israel from Egypt. And by a prophet, it was kept. That is the sustenance of his life in the land of abundance. The sustenance of his life in the land of grace was also by the ministry of the prophet. And for that reason, of course, I said then, that was why God first set Moses aside. And then when the time was ripe, he taught him how to prophesy. And that was the same thing that God did to Jeremiah. He taught Jeremiah how to prophesy. So what God did was to teach Moses how to prophesy. And then Moses now went back to Egypt and he will say, let my people go. That is, what got the people out of captivity was that Moses said, thus says the Lord, let my people go. It was not because the people arranged deliverance, but because Moses uttered the words and said, let my people go. You understand that? So we say, if we are going to be delivered in Christianity, if we are going to have freedom, if we are going to have abundance, if we are going to have the victory that God created us to have, then we must learn the principle of prophesying, because it was by prophecy, by a prophet, that God brought Israel from Egypt. And that's what I've been studying for the last few weeks. And last time I said something, let me just remind us of it again, and then from there we'll conclude today, that everybody, remember I said it, you are your own most important prophet. In the New Testament, you know, prophets are not people we go to meet now. There are prophets like that, but we don't go to meet them to consult and say, what did God say? We have the word of God. We have the will of God, which is recorded. We have been studying on Tuesdays concerning how to pray in the will of God. And if anybody is listening to this, I would recommend you get that series in the School of Prayer, Praying in the Will of God. Because we explained there that the will of God is recorded. So when the Bible says that you ask, this is the confidence we have. That's in 1 John chapter 5, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We said that wasn't saying that we should go to a prophet and ask, what is the will of God about this so that I can pray accordingly. What God was saying there is that my will has been recorded, and if you fill your life with my word, if my words abide in you, he said, then you will ask whatever you will. That is, anything that comes from a heart that's abiding in the word of God, that thing is the will of God. Are you getting my point? So prophecies now for us are things that have been recorded. In fact, Paul said it like this, that the prophets prophesied, that Peter said, the prophets prophesied concerning the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. You understand my point? That is, the whole of these prophecies, they are the words of God for us. They are the things that we are supposed to utter, and that makes us prophets. When we are saying now that we'll be delivered by prophecy, we are not saying that we'll now go, because sometimes, you see, you must understand how to interpret life, especially when it has to do with the old versus the new covenant. Sometimes Christians want to stand in the position that the prophets of the Old Testament stood amongst the people of God. But it doesn't work like that today. Are you getting my point? In fact, you know, I don't know why I mentioned it here. If you listen to the series I taught in Abuja, then I mentioned to you, I gave it out for those who were interested. I explained something there. If you go and read that 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, he explained that in the Old Testament, the prophet was a problem. That is, the problem was with false prophets. But in the New Testament, the problem is with what? False teachers. You understand my point? That is, in New Testament, the way we used to go those days, to go to the prophet, to go and inquire of the Lord, what God expects is that you will go to the Word of God to learn. That's why I'm emphasizing the issue of teachers. That is, you have to be taught the Word of God. That's what you need to seek. You don't need to seek from a prophet. What is God saying? God has said everything he needs to say to anybody who is seeking to hear. Are you getting my point? When God needs to speak beyond that which is recorded, he knows how to get across to you. And at such times, he also has New Testament prophets. But what they do now is not to sit down and somebody come and say, inquire of me for me of the Lord. No. What anybody needs now in Christianity is to go and learn the Word of God. Are you getting my point? But when God needs to send a prophet to the person, he will send a prophet. And prophets still exist till today. I'm not saying they don't exist. But when it comes to our general life, how we live our lives, you are the most important prophet in your life. Are you getting my point? In fact, remember we said, he said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And he was speaking about Abraham. He was speaking about Isaac. He was speaking about Jacob. And he was speaking about the sons of Israel. That is, every one of them who God shaped the events of life around, those were the prophets of God. And last time I began to explain who a real prophet is. These are the real prophets of God. Everyone who is a believer, that's the person who's, in fact, this is how it is. In fact, I thought about it later. I said, I should have discussed about effective prophets. Who are the prophets of God now? Everyone who is a Christian. Are you getting my point? Yes. Now, I need to emphasize what I said about that again. All right? I said it before. Let me say it again. And what I said is that we are all builders with God. And the way by which we build is by what? Prophesying. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't forget what we said, that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God did what? He uttered, he prophesied, he said something. And how we are going to put all that back into whatever it is that we are doing in life is to continue to do what? To say something, all right? So, number one, who are those who are God's prophets? Who are the people who are going to put order into this life? It is you and it is me. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right? And we must be careful. I don't want to go over that again. Listen to the previous messages. You must be careful what you say with your mouth. Life is not a derivative of the physical events that we see. Life is derived from the words that the prophets of God speak when they have observed the things that are happening. They don't utter how they feel. They don't utter so as to derive from what they are seeing. They utter what they want to happen. So if God wants something to happen, what he does is to reveal it to his servants, the prophets. Don't forget, surely the Lord God does how many things?
Nothing.
How many things?
Nothing.
How many things?
Nothing.
I can't hear you. How many things?
Nothing.
He does nothing unless he reveals them first to his servants, the prophets. The reason is this. Without them uttering something, nothing will be done. Don't forget what I said. If we all kept quiet, therefore, you say, what will happen? What will happen is that the Lord will withdraw his spirit and we all will expire. And the Lord will withdraw his spirit and the physical atmosphere, the physical things around would expire. You understand that point? All right, let's continue. Now, so this is the point we're trying to draw me into our hearts, okay? The true prophets of God are, number one, those who are believers. If they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then they qualify to be the prophets of God. I said last time that they also have the Word of God. I said there are people who are proved faithful and there are those who understand, okay, I didn't explain that. There are those who have been called, they have been chosen, and they have proved faithful. That's where I stopped. Now, having reviewed that briefly, I'll continue from that point, like I said, but let's read a few scriptures to connect with the things I want to say today. First of all, let's read from Jeremiah chapter 23. The book of Jeremiah chapter 23, let's read that. I'll start from verse 16. I want to get a concept out to us here. Concerning effective prophesying. Please say it, effective prophesying. Because you see, there are issues of what Paul called clanging, empty barrels and clanging cymbals. People can say things that don't have any effect. In fact, you see it, who is it that says a thing and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? And that's what it is. Effective prophesying must be because God has already commanded. Are you getting that point? So let's read that from verse 23, from verse 16, chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. Now, please, before we read this, let me just give you a background. Jeremiah was prophesying when Israel was going to be plundered by the Babylonians and they were going to be carried into captivity. And Nebuchadnezzar was being sent by God to do that assignment, all right? It was an order from God. Now, a lot of prophets came and they were speaking good things to the people. The people had disobeyed God for a very long time, yet they would come and say, no problem will happen to you. Everything is all right with you, all right? These Babylonians that are coming, they won't come in. They will not take you away. Even after they went into captivity, they started prophesying that just 2 years and you'll be out of captivity. And Jeremiah, who was the true prophet of God, who was sent, was now giving them these words. Now, let's read it now. He said, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination. And I see a lot of that today. Not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you will have peace. As for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, calamity will not come upon you. Please notice verse 18, which is the reason why we are reading this. It said, but who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath. That is, they will have discovered this. That the storm of the Lord has gone forth in his wrath. Even a whirling tempest. It will swell down on the head of the wicked. He said, the anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. He said, in the last days you will clearly understand it. Now, said in verse 21, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, something striking me here, that these are really called prophets. Are you getting the point? Because God called them prophets. He said, I didn't send these prophets, but they ran. He now said, this is what they should have done. If they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to my people, and they would have turned back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Just by the way, the main problem Israel had, I said earlier, was false prophets. Those who said things to them that were not true. But God said, this is what prophets should have done. Now, notice that. They should have stood in the counsel of God. They should have stood waiting upon the presence of God. They should have stood to hear what God wants to say to the people. I said to you last time, what a lot of people do is that they react. Now, put something here. Let's quickly go over to the book of Isaiah chapter 11. I'm talking about effective prophesying. I've been talking about this, understanding the prophetic for a while. I want to finish it today. Effective prophesying. Please, my emphasis in this whole thing, I can't say it enough. Let me keep on repeating it. Is to let you know that the key to your deliverance is in your mouth. If you understood that, say amen.
Amen.
My emphasis in all of these teachings, in this series, is to let you understand the key to the deliverance of a nation, your society, your environment, your family, your children, is in your mouth. You are getting what I'm saying? Don't you see, it's what you tell them they will become. And let me say this to you again. Life is tempting. Life is full of temptations. I remember the song we taught those days when we were in school. He said, you are starting, my boy, on life's journey. Along the highways of life, you will meet with 1,000 temptations. Each city with evil is rife. Remember the song? He said, the world is a stage of excitement. There is danger wherever you go. And then, you know, said, if you have met with one kind of thing, have courage, my boy, he said, to say no. I remember that song we learned when we were children. All right? Learned that song more than 30 years ago. I remember it very well. Now, this is the point I'm making. Life is full of what? Temptations. And what the temptations are, one of the major temptations in life, of course, is the temptation to lead you into sin by actions. But I want to say this to you. One major temptation which you must resist, especially in today's Christianity, is to speak wrongly. Are you getting my point? let me say it like this. You will have children. I told you my experience in life. All right, I have a number of children, and God used that one to teach me something very powerful. They are very different, but they have not, oh God, I give you praise, I thank you for it. They have not been able to persuade me to say different things concerning them. I have children that are very attentive. I have children that Americans would have loved to qualify as having attention deficit disorder. But that's your personal problem. The key to leaving Egypt, the key to leaving foolishness and entering into grace, the key to leaving Egypt and entering into Canaan is by the word of prophecy. And I'm the chief prophet in the house. So no matter what it is, I will remind you of what I decided before I married your mother. I will remind you of what I knew before I even thought about having a wife. I will remind you of what I told my wife after I've married her about you before you were conceived. You will not get me to change my mind. You are a good boy. You are a handsome boy. You are a beautiful girl. You are going somewhere great. You are a prophetess of God. I will tell you that why you are misbehaving. You know why? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, so you should misbehave periodically. Are you getting my point? Until I finish driving them away by the prescription of God. Are you getting my point? You will do some misbehavior. But while you are doing that, I must never change what I'm saying about you. Because I'm not remarking or commenting upon what you are like right now. After all, you are just a child. I am telling you what you are going to be in future. I'm telling you that which you were created to be. Before you were conceived, I told God, don't give me any nonsense child. So he didn't give me one. No matter how you behave, it does not change my mind for me. And the earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving upon the surface of the waters. And then God said, he was not commenting upon the uselessness of the situation. He told the situation where it should go. Please, I want you to understand that. If the nation will move forward, you know, we've been saying it, this light, this power will be uninterrupted in this country. Not because we do not have legislators that they put in charge and decide to whack a billion naira. That is their problem. They will whack the money to give them diarrhea. They will bring out that money undigested. They will bring it out. Whatever it takes, it will come to pass that in this nation, we will generate enough power without looking for where to sell it. You can't make me change my mind. The only way it will happen is if the prophets of God continue to do their duty. You are not succeeding in life because you have a good degree. You will not do well in life because you are connected. You know, I've been saying, I hope everybody has believed me, you've been listening to me enough. Where is your deliverance? Where is your success? Where is your destiny? He said, behold, the word is nigh thee. Even in thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach. That's your destiny. I said, life is tempting. That's what I was trying to explain. What is the temptation of life? It wants to explain. Look, you will do a few businesses and it will fail. Why? Because you must be tested. That's just life for you. Remember, I don't know if you're on our mailing list. I sent the article around. I said, are you cursed? I don't think so. So you had a number of failures. I said, so? That just means you're a righteous man. You have 7 to go. If you say, I'm cursed, I say, life is difficult. It's not about being cursed. He said, the kingdom of God suffereth what? Violence. And the violent will take it by force. You must understand that point. So, life is not, because you had a few problems, doesn't mean anything. What I'm talking about today, that won't change your mind. It is because I didn't get that master's. If only I had gotten the master's. You see, what is it when you start saying that, you are soothsaying like Philistines. So what are you supposed to do? Ignore the master's you have or do not have. Ignore that degree you have or do not have. Whether you have it or you don't have it is irrelevant. I told you degrees for what? Learning. It's not to get a job. You go to school to be educated. Education is important. In life, it's not good to be foolish. Solomon said, I tested foolishness, I tested wisdom. I discovered that foolishness is foolish. Yes, you know, Solomon tested a lot of things, you understand? One thing he dropped fast was foolishness. He tested eating plenty. He did that one for a long time. He tested drinking plenty. He said, I tested how to stimulate my body with wine. He did that for a long time. But the moment he started foolishness, he dropped it sharp. He said, this one is stupid. That was one thing Solomon said, but don't even go near it. So ignorance is bad. Are you getting my point? Yes. To be uneducated is not good. I'm not talking about being certificated. Are you getting what I'm saying? Being certificated and being educated are two different things. I say all the time, nobody gave me a certificate to enter into ministry. But I'm not bragging. I have read more course content than many people that have doctors of divinity in spiritual matters. I told you once, I was with a friend. He had a BSc in theology. I had a bachelor in medicine and bachelor in surgery. And both of us were youth coppers. At the end of the year, he told me that I challenged him to go and read his Bible. I didn't have a certificate in theology. He had it. But I had the learning. The day I read Hebrews chapter 1 for him in Hebrew. Yes, in the Hebrew language. The man was shocked. Where did you hear that from? It is in the books. It is in the books. Are you getting my point? Education is for education purposes. It's not for getting a job. I'm not queued up in any church now. Come and give me a job. But I don't have to tell you. In fact, let me not bother you. With the number of churches that have offered me essentially a job, people have started branches hoping I will go in to take it over. I went there, greeted them very well. I said, it's very nice work you are doing here. I disappeared. I've been offered all kinds of titles. I'm telling you. Oscar, you step up. People have done. Why? Because Paul said, I am. That is, it was something people say, you are the proof of my ministry. You are the proof of my calling. I don't need anybody's certificate. You want to know whether I'm educated or not in spiritual matters? Just come and sit down. Let me teach you the word of God for 1 hour. If at the end of the day you are sure I am not educated in the Bible and spiritual matters, then don't come back to where I'm teaching. No, be so. And listen, that's how it is in the whole of life. I know now we camp around certificates, but go and check it. Henry Ford did not have a certificate. He went and learned to be what they call a machinist. RJ Letourneau, he says, I'm a self-taught engineer. When he sold his company, he had to enter an agreement not to design anything for 5 years. Because they know if he continues designing, the fact that he sold the company, doesn't mean he will take everything back. Listen, when this, you know, people say that Bill Gates was a dropout. You know, Nigerian dropout, American dropout are two different kinds of dropouts. Let me talk about the American dropout for a moment. With his dropping out, he produced Windows. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, he didn't need the certificate. He had the learning of programming. So he was in a hurry to get out and go and start doing the business. Same thing with Michael Dell. He didn't have the certificate yet. He was in school, but he was already producing computers for people to use. So he said, why waste time? And once they featured him as a billionaire, those days, there were not that many then. Then they were very few. He was a billionaire before he was 40. Using the same learning that people go to school to learn. Now, I'm not saying schooling is bad. You don't need a certificate. That's what I'm saying. But don't look at that certificate as if it's your passport. In Nigeria today, we see people who have BSc in accounting. They can't do basic bookkeeping. I've gone back to that again. Let me get back to what I was saying. What am I saying? Therefore, don't predict your future based on things like that. Are you getting my point? Whatever it is you have or do not have, the key to your destiny is in your mouth. When you wake up in the morning, it's what you say that the environment responds to if you are a true child of God. That's what I'm saying. You don't, please, don't confirm the problem. You know, people don't understand. You know, people like people feeling sorry for them. If you have that habit, drop it. It's not necessary. People don't like it. You trying to make them feel sorry for you. I don't say, if you know how much I have suffered, why do I want to know how much you have suffered? If I want to see suffering, I watch CNN. Do you understand my point? If you want to see suffering, watch CNN. CNN will go to Syria. They will not film the peaceful places. Just film all the places where, in fact, the one I saw today, they blew up a house. The house collapsed on top of a woman who was breastfeeding. They now showed the little one-year-old that was being breastfed how he survived because the mother died on top of him. Supposed to make me feel bad and hate Assad. So I don't want your story added to that one. It's enough when I want to feel bad. I watch Calamity News Network. So don't go around telling your stories. If you know how I suffered in this life. My father left when I was only 6. My mother had to walk to take care of only 5 of us. As you are saying, like the guy, like, get to the point. Okay, if without this job, without this job, better forget this job. We ain't giving you because you suffered. I'm looking for a man who's skilled. I'm looking for a man who can make me rich. I'm not looking for a man who will solve his problem by giving him a job. You know, I like to drop things again and again. When you go to look for a job, you interview us, don't go there making the man feel sorry for you because you are putting yourself in the position of need. He is in the position of need. You are supposed to be a giver. He's not looking for who to give to. He's looking for who to take from. For every naira he pays you, he gets like 2 or 3 or 4. He's a kind man. A wicked man gets like 1,000. You get what I'm saying? So he wants somebody who can make him rich. When you sit down, explain to him, he won't know you are prophesying. Explain to him how you're coming into his life is going to be a blessing to him. Listen, I'm skilled in something. And I'm a very honest man. I know I shouldn't blow my own trumpet, but how else will you know if I don't tell you? And these my own referees are not jokers. These are their numbers. Call them. Whether one night I ever got missing while I was in charge. My middle name, sir, is Daniel. In the affairs of the boss, no evidence of corruption or negligence will be found. Let me leave that. Let me see my message. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So what am I saying? Your destiny, your success in life is in your mouth. That's what I'm trying to emphasize in all of these things. It's in your mouth. And you must be disciplined to respond to life by God's prophetic word, which I'm emphasizing today. You will only know if you're in counsel with him. All right, I said you should open somewhere. Did I say that one? Isaiah chapter what? 11. Let's quickly read that. That's what I was trying to say. So in life, when you want to speak, try not to respond. I said it last time that I went somewhere for a so-called prophetic mandate teaching. And I said to myself, this man has not been in counsel with God. What do I mean by that? You know, in life, we respond. I was saying to you, life is very tempting. And the temptation is to respond according to what we can see. And that's why I want us to read this. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1. This is the discipline of Christianity. It said, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. And the spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and strength. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Now, please notice this. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He said he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Please notice that. He's pronouncing judgment, how? By the rod of his mouth and by the breath of his lips. That is how he will slay the wicked. He said, and righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Now, let me just stop there, all right? Now, why did I read this? Let me get back to what I was saying. So you see, this is the discipline of the prophet of God. God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets. My emphasis there on the word my. That is the prophets that are God's own prophets. The people that are God's own people. We read from 1 Peter chapter 2 then. It said you are God's special possession, a peculiar people, a holy nation. All right? Now, so the people of God, this is their discipline. This is one thing they must be careful that they do not do. They must be like the Lord Jesus Christ, which this portion of the Bible was prophesying concerning. He said, the spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom, understanding, the spirit, he said, of counsel, strength, knowledge, fear of God, he will not judge by what his eyes see. Like I was telling you, so then I went for that meeting, and the man began to declare, and I knew that this was a man reacting. I remember once I was in church, and the pastor was saying something. This was when the whole of the nation was angry, that is, Southerners at least, all right? They were angry that the North has been ruling the country for a very, very long time. And the pastor was saying something. And this is one thing about human beings. It is easy. That's why I hate being called a motivational speaker. Because one day we come, you think I'm motivating you, I will swear for you. According to the word of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Then you can call the vex. Sometimes I'm teaching. Say some truth, some people will get angry. I'm not a motivational speaker. I expect you to get angry periodically. You understand? That's a sign that I'm still telling you the truth. All right? Yes, you should get angry once in a while. You should say things that it's hard for you to swallow. You follow what I'm saying? So that day, the man was teaching the word of God, and he was teaching the truth. And of course, the mood in the nation was that, look, there should be rotational presidency. Why should only the Hausas and the Hausa Fulani and the core North people, Northern Muslim, be the one ruling? And the thing should move down south. You know, that talk was plenty. Then he said something, and this is what I want to tell you about, not judging according to what your eyes see or what your ears hear. You must judge with righteous judgment. And he was trying to explain something that we have to be careful when we are talking. That he said, this is how he said it, that for example, in the nation of Israel, do you know the commandment of God was that all their rulers will come from Judah? One guy in front of me says, so pastor, what are you saying? No, I'm serious. Let me tell you the truth. Like, what are you saying? Which kind of Judah? Is Judah Sokoto State? Come on, we stop all of it. Now, I just want to bring an issue to you. Now, this may sound simple. It may sound nice to hear. But when the chips are down, God. Do you know there was a time God came out and killed the sons of Aaron and said, don't cry. You hear what I said? You're not allowed to mourn. You're not supposed to cry. You're going to continue your priesthood after I fried two of your sons. It's not funny. Jeremiah said, go and read Lamentations. He said, a time comes when God begins to pummel a man. He said, this is the word of the Lord. He mustn't complain. He said, if they slap him, let him keep the cheek there. He said, if they slap him enough, God will get tired of the slapping. He said, but if he reacts, the slapping will take longer. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. That is, I'm trying to give you the extremes of not, judging according to the hearing of the ears or the seeing of the eyes. The man that did, I went for the prophetic meeting. When it was through, I told you about it last time, just want to explain it further today. I said to myself, this guy has not been in counsel with God. He's angry. He didn't hear the words of Elihu. And this is how it is in Christianity. You say, Pastor Bank, are we supposed to take every oppression that comes upon us? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that your complaint must never be about man or towards man. It must always be towards God. He said, no one says, where is God my maker? That no one can oppress you as a believer unless God says, go ahead, oppress him. That's a matter of fact. I'm bringing an issue here. In Christianity, through prophesying, you know, when people go to churches these days, before I say anything about Christianity, I want to just point something out to let you understand what I'm saying. It is so easy. One day, a friend of mine pointed to one church in Enugu and said, look at how they have grown. They had bought land, you could see them spending money. They try. I said to him, oh boy, relax about this trying matter. You will read our bulletin next week. And one of the articles in there is talking about the myths, all right? I got it from somewhere. The myth concerning ministry success. I told my friend, listen, forget all this they are trying. I said, if you want to gather a crowd, if you preach what they preach, and you have the charisma, you will gather that same amount of crowd. There's no anointing about it. I said, listen, you know the reason? Because there are things people want to hear. So when you gather people and say, tonight, all your enemies are going to die. And you do it favor. I don't mean the one of your enemies will die. Let us pray that your enemies are going to die. Let's say, enemies die. nobody will follow you. I'm saying, tell them, draw your sword. Lift it up. Kill them. See, the man cannot buy a physical AK-47. This is where he gets his release. It's called catharsis. You vent your anger. Our psychologists even teach it. If you go to those countries, they not really go to church. You can tell you to put a punching bag there. When you are angry, face the punching bag. You beat the punching bag, your body will cool down. When they are angry, they start running. They run. They can run for 10 kilometers. The anger has to go somewhere. So what we do is, when you are broke, it's your enemy, it's not you. You are not lazy. There's no problem with you. You are working hard. It's not even the country. It's not the economy. It's what? Your enemies. When you were married, that time, you noticed your mother-in-law was frowning. That is it. Now see now. So what are you going to do? Holy Ghost what? Fire. That is judging according to the hearing of their ears and the seeing of their eyes. It is not righteous judgment. Many times Christians have told me that, many times, not once. Look, in my head now, four just flashed. If I settle down, I will give you more. All right? In which Christians have pointed fingers. They said it is my sister-in-law. That girl is very wicked. They said in my wife's place, or my husband's place, my husband's grandmother, you know that they all kinds of stories. So that is why I have not been able to do well in business. That is why I'm miscarrying. Each time I get pregnant, between the third and the fourth months, I miscarry. Why? Because my sister-in-law, she's a witch. When I hear from Christians, my reflex, my hand goes down like this. I'm unbuckling my belt. Flogging time. I actually want to flog a Christian. Opens the mouth in ignorance and gives the glory to the devil. Mr. Devil, you have control over my life. My God can't do anything. No matter how much I worship him, he's powerless. Even if I declare his word, you will still kill. You will destroy because he doesn't have the power. The Son has not come to destroy the works of the devil. He that the Son has set free is not free indeed, though. He's only free if the enemy forgets. And we wake up every morning and we gather people. Hey, all your enemies. Like once I saw a picture in Abuja. They sent it to us. Koboko night. You shall come with your Koboko. You can be sure they have done AK-47 night. Bazooka night, of course, now that one are regular. Tonight we are going to bazooka the devil. Now, listen. Pastor Banker, I say it is bad. It is a waste of time. I told you last time I went to preach. One sister, but if you tell me the whole story of her life. Was it Saturday? I said it was last Saturday or on Tuesday. I don't know. It was Saturday. Something's wrong. I said, I hope you're not planning to go to the village to go and pray. We're actually planning. I said, go and tell your brothers, they need to learn how to do business in Christianity. Not the devil that's putting them in distress. They learned worldliness. Now they have given their lives to Christ. They have to learn godliness. It takes time. I'm bringing an issue here. So prophets, we don't just go around judging recklessly. And that's what I'm talking about. We read that first of all. He said, if they had been in counsel with me, let me emphasize this. I said something last night as I was concluding, and I need to emphasize it, to wrap everything together today, so I can conclude the whole series, that's understanding the prophetic. That you see, we talked about Simba in Lion King. He was king quite all right, but the little boy, that he was going to be king. So authority couldn't be given to him because the first thing he would have done was to fire Zazu that was supposed to preserve his life. So you know what God did? He ensured that he didn't have the power to fire Zazu. So that when the hyenas got him, it was Zazu that went home to go and get his father. Imagine if he had fired Zazu. The hyenas would have had what they call their cub sandwich. You understand what I'm saying? Use the lion cub to do the whole sandwich. All right? Now, but God didn't give him that power because it was not going to be properly used. And a lot of times the powers that God is that has committed into our hands, he restrains the exercise of it. We talk plenty, nothing happens, because if he allowed them to happen the way we are saying it, we will kill even our deliverer. You are getting the point? So he said, now this is effective prophesying, that's what I'm talking about. This is how prophets prophesy effectively. Let's go back to that Jeremiah 23. He said, if they had been in counsel with me. What does it mean to be in counsel with God? He said in 21, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. If they had stood in counsel with me. If they had stood in counsel with me. He said, I will stand on my watch to hear what he will say to me. Are you getting what I'm saying? What does it mean to stand in counsel with God? It's simple. It simply means that they should have, go back to verse 18. But who has stood in the counsel of the Lord that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and listened? He said, watch your steps. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 5. When you come near the temple of God, draw near to do what? To listen, rather than to start uttering prophesying of fools. Listen. My this is my conviction. As a Christian, remember I told you then about one of my pastors that said, listen, my problem has been that I was reading too many newspapers. What should I read? I should read the Word of God. What should I read? I should study the Scriptures. I should pay attention to instruction of the Word of God, and I should do that with prayer. Then I will have clarity of understanding. Listen, it is not, you know, I think it was Pharaoh, Necho, that was his name. Not National Electoral Examination Council of Nigeria. I mean, this was Pharaoh. His name was Necho. He was coming to attack, I've mixed up the story now, either Judah or Israel. And the brother decided to come and, you understand, defend. If he was attacking Israel, Judah said, let me come and help. And Necho said, listen, what is your problem? God didn't send me against you. That God sent me against the other fellow. And he said to me, I must be quick. This was Pharaoh talking. So please, I don't want your trouble. Let me attack the house that God sent me to. That one didn't hear. He went and he died. Pharaoh had no choice. That Pharaoh Necho had no choice but to kill the guy. He said, I warned you that I have no issue with you. It's your brother. The fellow was responding, you understand my point? According to the flesh. He was responding according to, you know, emotional attachments. But what should they have done? He should have settled down. And those days, they had prophets. A prophet would have spoken to him and said, don't go there. That man is right. He's doing the assignment of God. I said to us earlier, we don't have such, well, that's not, we are not supposed to go and consult prophets now. We are supposed to construct instruction. Are you getting my point? If you settle down in life, and that's part of spiritual growth, that thing I gave out then, that message I gave out, listen to the last one, which I titled Growth in Grace, Lessons from 2 Peter. Listen to it. It really helped you to understand what I'm saying. It's part of spiritual growth. As you learn the word of God, you know what when to talk and when not to talk. That's one thing. Bear that one in mind. That's a general principle. I'm not talking about that in detail. But there's something I want to say, which I want you to understand. In fact, let's read this parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just refer to it because of time, because I'm watching my time closely. You know, he said that a certain man went out to go and a certain ruler went out to go and take a kingdom and return. And then he took minas, all right, money he gave to his servants. And he said, do business with this until I come. That's in chapter 19, Luke chapter 19. He said, a certain nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated him and all of that. Now, after, verse 15 says, and it came about when he returned, after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him in order that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared saying, Master, I have made 10 more from what you gave me. And he said, well done, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, being authority over what? 10 cities. And then another one came, and he said to him, being authority over 5 cities and all of that. What I want to bring out here is the fact that he used the word cities. Everybody says cities. All right? So you see, one servant, one slave was going to be in authority over 10 cities, which, of course, common sense tells us those 10 cities were different from the 5 cities the other fellow was going to handle, which if the other one had 2 cities to take, there would be another set of cities. They were not having overlapping authority, those slaves that he was giving authority to. Are you getting my point? There's an instruction there for us, and that's how life is. Life is vast, all right? There are many different aspects of life, and it is not in every one of them that every Christian has the same amount of authority. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Listen, generally in life, there are things that are common to everybody. Our atmosphere is common to everybody. Our government in a certain area, in the general area, is common to everybody. The economy is common to everybody. But within all of these, there are sub-specializations. And what I want to explain to you here is this. What God does is to train his children so as to occupy, now, not physical places. You must understand this. Because sometimes we forget and we preach our gospel, the application of it is where we have a problem. In that sometimes we say that God wants the children to be in authority. And that is true. I'm not saying it is not true. But there's a kind of authority that's more important to him than the one a lot of people think about. It is more important to God, you're getting my point, that Samuel is in Israel than it was important that Saul was there. Are you getting what I'm saying? Samuel was more important to God than Saul. That's a matter of fact. The prophet that will prophesy is more important to God than the outward figure. Remember, when Elisha was going to die, when the king came to him, he shouted, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. What does that mean? That this was the deliverance of Israel is about to die. It was not my army. We had physical chariots, quite all right. We had physical horses. We had horsemen. But the true deliverance that Israel had was Elisha. And that was why he ran down and shouted, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. You are getting my point. When Israel was going to go into battle, listen, Joshua was there. All the men were there to fight. They had men of war. But the arms of Moses, who was not in front of the battle physically, had to be raised up. So who was more important for victory? Moses. When Samuel was going to hand over Israel to their new dynasty, to Saul, listen, he spoke. The people were gathered, said, Israel has gathered, let's go and attack. He said, don't worry. He spoke against them and they were routed without anybody physically fighting. The prophet is very important. You're getting my point. So now this point I'm making. He said, you be in authority over 5 cities as an example. What I'm saying here is this. There are 2 sides to it. There may be, of course, there is a side in which you are physically in authority over a domain in human affairs. But what I'm talking about today is that more important than that outward charge is that there are people who are not inside, they are not visible, but they are inside, and God said they are in authority over those cities. Are you getting what I'm saying? That they are in authority over those cities. And take an example, Israel. Elijah, not Elisha now, could command rain to fall or not fall. Meanwhile, Ahab was the king. Who was the king? Who was in charge? Elijah. So much that Ahab saw Elijah and said, this is the man who has been troubling Israel. Ahab knew where the power was coming from. He saw Elijah and said, look at the troubler of Israel. And he wasn't commanding armies. But he will come out and he will speak. I'm making an issue here. So one of the things that God is doing in this our lives, in this nation, in our environment, is to raise prophets who may not be visible outwardly, but indeed they command the power in that environment. Listen, those prophets are informed. Let me give you an example. Let's take the stock market as an example. This is my persuasion. I don't think I'm wrong, but if I'm wrong, correct me. There are, of course, there are those of, I said, everybody's business. Economy is everybody's business, so we prophesy. But then there are traders, workers, all right, investors in that area who are God's prophets, who can they can drag down stock value by uttering words, not in the newspaper, in their closet, and they bring it back up. They can swing things to the left and to the right by virtue of their desires, by virtue of their understanding. They can look and say, no. Now, listen, because they have understanding, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not going to issue here. There are people that have understanding. So they can look and say, if we continue like this, it won't help us in this country. They just say it like that. And as the government is talking, they just say, no, that will not work in this place. No, God, in the name of Jesus, that will not work. They don't go to Aso Rock. They don't lobby with Senate President or Senate Assistant President or whatever it is. But because they are God's prophets in that field, they are the Elijahs that are troubling that nation. I don't know what I have to say. Most people don't know what insurance is. No, I know you can spell it. I know you used to, you know, those days before they removed checkpoints, used to be 1,000 a year so that you can pass through every checkpoint. That was not insurance, all right? But there are people that understand it. They understand health insurance. They are practitioners, either they are medical practitioners, an example, or whatever it is, but they have thought well about, their brains work in that direction. They are the people of God. Do you understand? They can prophesy a direction for medical health insurance in Nigeria, that for health insurance in Nigeria. But nobody outwardly knows them. But you see, why I'm emphasizing that is that the man who doesn't know anything about it cannot speak with persuasion. He can't speak with faith. He cannot speak with understanding. He can't really be in counsel with God in that area because he doesn't know what they're talking about. All he knows is, we know go agree. You know, that had this story once. I was in Luz. Then our acting CMD, there was someone who was acting as CMD. He gathered all the heads of the unions. Whether you are consultants. No, the consultants were not there that day. It was the resident doctors and all the unions. And my friend who was in charge of our association, he called me and said, Banky, let's go. All right? So, in fact, they wanted as many people, all right, as possible. So he explained to us why he wouldn't be able to pay salary that month. He talked about all the trips he had made to Abuja, the money they have in their accounts, the money they don't have. He spoke and spoke at length. He was just saying, please, the salary will not come at the proper time. You guys shouldn't be angry. As soon as money comes, we'll release the money. But there's going to be delay. So if people were now asking questions, you put up your hand, you ask questions, you bring suggestions. I remember one man, my man, I said, if next meeting, they don't call you now. He said, they are discriminating. He was one of the heads of some of these, what they call junior workers union, you know? So he put up his hand. That's all these things we are saying. This is a problem that the CMD and the DA and director of finance can solve if they just put their heads together. That how much are we talking about? It's not the salary that they are going to earn. Please, they shouldn't just say all these things. They should just pay him his salary as the month is ending. That after all, if once they put their heads together, they can solve it. I said, foolishness is bad. That is, this our big bosses have spoken for a long, giving us analysis. This is the money we have. This is how much we get normally. This is what we make. This is what we don't make. This is how much our wage bill is. This is why we need this money that the government is supposed to give us. He had explained and said, please, the money hasn't come. You have to wait. And one man said that, if you put your head together, you will solve the problem. And somebody said, so how? How are you suggesting? And as I said, he was going back to his seat, like, that don't bother me. I never forgot. I said, Father,
this is foolishness. I said, you can't get across to this man no matter what you say. Such people, when God is looking for prophets that will control the economy, say, don't call that one. Hey, no, that one, don't call him. Doesn't know anything. Does not know the price of gold. Does not know the price of what they call commodities. Does not know the price of dollar or pounds or euro. So when it comes to directly speaking about some things, God doesn't want him. You just speak about your family, your children, and general prayer. It shall be well. Amen. It shall be well. Then I will recruit people that know how it shall be well, and they shall speak so as to make sure it is well. Why am I saying all of these things? Having talked generally, I want you to know, therefore, that your life is not just about money you can make. Now I'm getting back down, I'm narrowing down to the message. Remember we said, those who are with him, they are whom? He said, the Lamb will overcome them because he's what? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And those who are with him, that's Revelation chapter 17, we read it last time. They are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And I explained that, listen, he said the Lamb is what? The King of Kings and is the Lord of Lords. So these people who are with him, they are actually kings and they are what? They are lords. They are in authority over cities. That's what I'm saying. You will be in charge of 10 cities. So that lord is the lord of that lord. You get my point? That master is the lord of lords. You be in charge of 5 cities. He is a king of that king he has appointed over those cities. Very important. What am I saying? God has appointed you over a city. Are you getting what I'm saying? One of the major problems in life is people are not focused. They are into everything that makes money. Therefore, spiritually, they are weak. They are without power. Everything. So, boy, the one that's moving now is pure water. Next week, he has bought pure water machine. Then they now say, have you heard this company, Dangote is opening a cement factory just between here on Oji River. And from Enugu, you can drive. 15 minutes, you are there. And look at how much he's paying. He closes the pure water factory down, closes the fish farm down, the shop in the market closes down. Then he goes with his certificate that he has filed, dusts it at his front of Dangote. Please now, find bros a job. You are getting what I say? And after a while, they say, you are in cement. When we are building coal factory, now we have to mine coal. Every foreman is earning 750,000 a month just for being a coal digging foreman. So, Oga Dangote, it was very nice working with you. We are going down to where they are digging coal. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Such a man cannot prophesy anything to be effective. Are you getting what I'm saying? Life is not just about what I earn. That's what I'm going to explain. It is a place where I deal until I become skilled and God can confer upon me authority. Do you know there are many problems in Nigeria that we think there are problems? No, that is, we think this is the problem. But those who are in there say that's not what the problem is. You know, once I was talking with one of the big lawyers in town, one of the big boys. I said, I thought it was a legislative matter that they couldn't use machines, to take court records that the judges and the magistrates have to write until they have arthritis. So I had been talking, so that I saw the man, I said, God, listen, this thing is a problem. When he told me what the problem was, I was shocked. He said, no, it's a problem of money. I said, no, excuse me, sir. Are you saying that the law in Nigeria allows them to get a professional, I forgot what they called them, a teletype, whatever it is, to be recording the thing? He said, yes. I said, are you serious? He said, yes. That the problem is a problem of money. That is the only reason why justice is delayed in Nigeria is because somebody will not give money. I don't mean bribe. I mean just because of power issues. He said, listen, every court you use, it has to be constantly supplied with power. suddenly the issue of generators coming, falling the generators. He said that is what the problem is, and you make adults be writing and writing, writing until they have arthritis. But if you are left me and say, this constitution must change in the name of Jesus Christ. This constitution is not constitution. It's just because you don't work there. That's why you have been shouting on the constitution for a long time. But men who work there know that, no, it's not a matter of constitution. It's a matter of what? Cash. If I told the manager, they said, we need to sit down. We have to raise the money from the people from a non-governmental area and make, because this is not right. Before the magistrate hears a few cases of the day, he or she is tired. Because by the time you write, witness coughed, you go put on there. That's the joke, all right? Don't try. But by the time you have to write, you go tired now. You are getting my point? For a long time, some of us did not realize that the problem with power generation in Nigeria was constitutional. It was in power, it was not about money. It was about constitution. Nigeria constitution does not allow you to generate a certain amount of power. Oh, so many people don't know. That is, if Enugu could build enough build stations that will produce enough power to power the whole state, the law does not allow it. You're shocked. The law says once you generate above a particular amount, you feed it into the national grid. Then they will redistribute. So that's why the states didn't bother. That's why Lagos, Port Harcourt, and the rivers, who could do it easily? They couldn't, because you spend all the money, they feed into a national grid, and distribute it according to the way they wish nationwide. Unless your name is Jesus Christ, you won't bother. Oh, you know, most Nigerians do not know that that's a problem. I don't know the current solution we have right now, but that thing was a major problem. There were those who could generate enough power to power their states, but the Nigerian law didn't allow them to do it. I'm not making an issue here. Those things just don't change by themselves and become good. Those theories only work in evolution, which is a fat lie. That when a member jams with Glina will become paramecium. And when paramecium jam another one, then they will form notochord and become amphiosus, yes. I'm trying to remember. Amphiosus. I learned that one in biology in university those days. No, that one doesn't happen in real life. In real life, if you don't utter words, if you don't see anything, the 4,000 or 6,000, how much now they generate now? 4,000 megawatts you are seeing will soon become 400. That this 4,000 you are seeing, you have to continue to utter and continue to build. Now, but it gets to a point where those who can say things that matter are only those that know what is going on. They know when to utter judgment so as to kill people. I don't know whether I heard what I said. No, if God shows you the meaning of some of the prayers you are praying, you withdraw the prayer. That is, Jeremiah began to prophesy, somebody collapsed and died. Jeremiah said, what was that? That was not the idea. But certain people, now, please, because of my time, let me quickly get there, because I'm finishing this one now. The point I'm making is this, listen, that's how life is. God is building you up so as to take charge of cities. You get what I'm saying? It's not about the money there is not good. Well, God said, if you are not there, who will take charge of that city? I think life is tempting. Life has a lot of temptations. The major temptation that Satan uses to distract away God's prophets, there are a number of them. One is this, the vex one I talked about earlier, judging according to the flesh. But a major one, at least in our country of today, is money. There are places you can never speak into except you are planted in there. You can't speak from afar. I speak to that health sector. Be good. Your own word will work to a level. Then God says, okay, there are people that must be inside and they must speak from inside. You are getting me? And don't forget to, we said it last time, they are called, they are chosen, and they are what? faithful. And we said faithfulness implies that there was hardship. Faithfulness implies that there was suffering. Faithfulness implies that there was difficulty. Everywhere you run away because things are rough there, you've lost the authority over that place. Once everywhere things are rough, you disappear. You've lost it. Not because the Lord is angry, but because you have lost, you threw it away. That's just it. You decided you didn't like it, and you dusted it, you know, and you threw it away. Please, oh, that's my emphasis for today. He said, if they have been in counsel with me, number one, every Christian, so you can judge righteously, you must be filled with the word of God. You must be filled with the word of God. You must have understanding of what God is saying. You must know the things that matter and the things that don't matter. Because you see, if you watch, you know, these days, I watch TV, all right, news. Not, I only watch movies. Maybe in a whole month, I probably see, no, 2 months, I see, no. In a year, I probably watch 2 new movies in a whole year. That's not so it be. I'm just not, all right, watch a few television series once in a while. If you see in front of television, in fact, my children, the ones I appear in front of the TV, I watch news a lot. And I like current. I like to know what's happening. If I see that nothing's happening, I pick my phone. I'm clicking on BBC News. You know, I also read Charisma these days. I just want to know what's going on. That's what I do. Read all the Nigerian papers online. And the more I read it, the more this is. I'm angry a lot of times. People tell lies a lot. I feel like writing Barack Obama is a letter that you don't know what American problem is. American problem is a moral problem, not an economic problem. I watch news, I see that most of the things that are projected from out there, they are fat lies. Fat lies. They tell you a physical fact, all right? And then the interpretation is a lie. The judgment of the origin of that problem is a lie. Like I just mentioned now, every time they are talking about American problem, I see it on CNN, I laugh. I say, you people's problem is a moral problem. It's not an economic problem. If you do not realize that, and you're an American, and you want to prophesy or pray in the country, you are going to be praying about things that are not the problem. You are going to be praying economic prayers. And God says, your problem is not economic. Your problem is moral. Your problem is spiritual. What am I saying? We're talking about the matter of prayer. You know, last few weeks, we've been talking about learning and praying. Knowing how to pray in line with the will of God. The only way God's prophet can be effective is if he or she is filled with his word. Listen, there are times that you don't prophesy kindness. There are prophetic words that come with judgment. When thy judgments are upon the earth, the inhabitants thereof, they learn righteousness. You don't respond and pray the way everybody is, because then, you know, these people have been oppressing us. They have been oppressing us. Then when you want to pray, you start prophesying against the oppressor instead of saying, where is God, my maker? And every word you utter that's not in agreement with God's thoughts is ineffective. That's the first thing I've had to explain today. The second thing is that, listen, you know, life has many aspects. He has many fields. We can break it down. In fact, there's this book I recommended that time, which is, well, I talked about it. Many people read it, Seven Mountain Prophecy. All right? It divided life into 7 mountains, 7 areas. Government, economics, media, entertainment, education. Which other one? How many people read the book? All right? And that's government. Anyway, divided by like 7 of them. But we can even divide it further. You look at it, life can be broken up into many cities. That's what I'm going to explain. Like you talked about entertainment, that's a city. Within that, there are zones. You know what I'm saying? All right. There are many cities in life. And God is raising people up inside there so that they will be effective, not just administrators now, but what? Prophets. The most influential person in that city may not be the king. That's what I'm saying. Elijah was more powerful than Ahab in deciding what happened to the economy of Israel. Elijah was not the king, but when Ahab saw him, He said, this is a man who has been troubling Israel. When Elisha was going to die, the king said, my father, this is the army of Israel about to die. So God is raising people like that up in different fields of life. So that, don't forget what I said, we are what with God? Builders, thank you. We are what? Builders. What the Lord is doing is that whatever it is that you are desiring, yes, I want to bring it to pass, but I can't. Surely the Lord God does nothing. Nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. These prophets, they are in counsel with God. They read the word of God. That allows them to be able to decode God's mind in the very areas that God has called them to rule inside. Let me tell you the truth. This is how God does things. I'll tell you a small story, then I close with it to explain how God does things. I heard this story, I don't know the facts, but when Russia, after they broke out from the Soviet Union, they were going to write their constitution. God called a man to write it and deliver it to the president then, Boris Yeltsin. How will he meet the man? There was where the Holy Spirit will, okay, check into this hotel. The man checked into the hotel, and one day he came out, and Boris Yeltsin was walking down the corridor of that hotel. Hello, sir. God said, I should give you this. There's a reason I'm telling you that. There is nothing that will happen as a blessing to mankind. Now, mankind's blessings are in two sides. There's what looks like blessing. Are you getting my point? But there's usually a judgment that precedes the blessing. Promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south. But what? God is judge. What does he do? He brings down one. That's the first thing he does. And then he lifts up another. He said, I've given you my word. I was sent to Jeremiah, paraphrase now, to pull down, to uproot, to destroy, to break down. Four words, I remember. And then to build and to plant. What am I saying? The blessing of God may look good, but the first part of the blessing may not look good to the society. I was listening to that Revelations in the Bible on CD in my car. And something struck me again, that when John saw the book and there was nobody that was able to take the scroll and to take the scroll and to open the seals, and he lamented, and he said, don't lament again. Why was he lamenting? It means that if that seal is not broken, there's a problem. True or false? True or false? True or false? Thank you. Then when they opened the seal, what happened? Then I saw a horse, red like fire. And the rider was angry. You know, I'm adding words now. And he went forth and he destroyed. And this happened and this happened. Ah, I said, wait, John, why were you crying? Are you sure you knew what was inside? But it was a scroll of blessing. But before the blessing could be released, God had to wipe out some things in judgment. What am I saying? Before anything God does, which is a blessing, whichever way it is, the first thing he does is to reveal those things to his prophets. We have tried to explain different level of prophecies now, of prophets now. Sometimes, maybe it's in the financial sector. Do you know there were prophets? This is what God is saying, in effect. That were in the banking sector that looked and said, what these people are doing is not good. We need to bring an end to this. You may not like it. People may lose jobs. Many things may happen, but that the word of God has been preached, that the blessing being prophesied from here and there may come to pass, we have to do this to stabilize this sector, as an example. I'm giving as an example. I'm not saying I was inside there, but that's how it works. Because, okay, clean some people out. And who are those who will declare it? Listen, the people who are inside, not every prophet goes and says, hey, wait. And the Lord said, no. He's doing his job. He's a man of prayer. He's a man of understanding. He's a woman of integrity. You understand? He's just doing her job. And then while there, just say, no, what these people are doing is not good. This is what we need to do so as to stabilize this. And say, God, we have to do this. And the person says, he doesn't even realize that he has connected with the mind of God. Like we talked about, if you listen to our series on Tuesdays, talking about praying the will of God. he's just soaked. She's just soaked with the word of God. And the natural things that come out of the heart is the will of God. Until he reveals them to his servants, the prophets. We can pray about power. Yes, that's what we can do. We can prophesy generally, but there are those that step by step must guide the development by prophecy. Many problems we have in the nation is that God doesn't have any prophet there. You want to enter police? Police is corrupt. God says, okay, so which prophet will now help me there now? They don't pay except you collect roja. God said, that's what I call faithful. You will go there, no roja. And don't think I'll just give you abundance one day. No, I will show you how to manage. I will show you where to buy correct black trousers that's cheap, that does not fade. But that's the only one you will have. For 2 years. I will show you where they sell boots that are good. Thick rubber. Used. So that you can go to work every day looking nice. If they share roja and you collect, oh my God, I will deal with you. If you don't repent, I will kill you. Say, yes, Lord. And you know God doesn't talk like that. You know how he does? You come for Bible study, that's where you hear it. You buy a book, that's how you get the understanding. That's how. Don't think he'll wake you up and say, hey, did you hear what they said today? Now I have come. You're my constable, anointed from heaven. No. The door will just open. The thing is just in your heart. Then the things that will have restrained you from entering has been removed by the teaching of the word of God. Instructions have been given to you that have I'm building you up so you'll be able to speak in certain areas. And except you have been tempted with roja, you are not faithful. And no man who has an abundance is tested with money. Yes, now it's when you are broke that bad money can be tempting. That is how it works. Let me summarize everything. That's the summary of it, all right? I'm ending it now once I say this. We are builders with God, amen?
Amen.
How do we build? Prophecy. We prophesy. What makes us prophets? Because we are believers and we are walking with God and we are in counsel with him. What do we mean that we're in counsel with God? We feed upon his word so we understand his mind. There are two aspects of this prophesying thing. There's a general aspect that affects everybody, but each person has a calling. In an area, you'll be a special prophet that God has placed in charge of that city. That's what I'm saying. And without all of us being in the right places, listen, things go bad though. And they will never get better spontaneously. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten what I'm saying. Let me add this one to you. Don't forget, your future, your destiny is a product of the prophetic words you are uttering concerning your life. Or that you are also receiving concerning your life. Because if a word is given, maybe at the end of the meeting I say a word, it agrees with you and you say amen. It's as if you two said it. That amen is as if you are saying it yourself again. All those words put together are the things that are building your future, not your background, not what you have, what you don't have. Promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south, but God is judged by that prophetic word is building you up. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
That is a summary of understanding the prophetic. Let's bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks.